Now, I want to take just a moment, a little more time in the announcements, and I want to go through some things that I want to encourage all of us, myself included, that we consider our marching orders as we go forward. I thought about putting this in a sermon, and I may still put this in a sermon. I've thought about making something laminated, and I might spend more time on it before I do that, and encouraging everyone to put it on your mirror, or put it in your Bible, or keep it in your desk, whatever it might be, to help help you remember these things and to stay focused. We have a couple that's planning to go to Kenya for the feast with us, and I told them that I would write out the itinerary and the hotels we're supposed to stay at and when we're going to be where, and I would laminate it, and then they could hang it around their neck upside down. And if they ever wonder where we are or where we're going, all they have to do is hold it up and read it. I'm not suggesting that you do that with this, but as we go forward, I want to encourage all of us to be aware of these things and to march forward together as a congregation. The sermon today is going to be, I'm going to show you some slides from my last trip and the brethren in Kenya. So I want to take a little bit of time, not yet, take a little bit of time to go over this and just put this into your mind. Mr. Franks had us write it down. He didn't give us anything. So I encourage you to write these things down, to think about them, to pray about them, and to work, all of us as a congregation, to work as we go forward. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. And the first point that I'm going to give you is to be at services. Be at services. And I know that you are here, and so you're thinking, well, we are at services. But you may notice that the attendance is up and down. And there are times when people have a need to miss services. So let's just put that out front. There is a time to miss services. If you are ill, we want you to miss services. And so there is a time to miss services. But brethren, all of us have a hard week for the most part. Being tired is not a reason to miss services. Let me just make that clear. Being tired is not a reason to miss services. Now you can come here and sleep. Not that we want you to. We want you to be at services. In Hebrews 10, this is a verse that we're very familiar with. And we can see this playing out in front of our eyes, where it says in verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." This is literally talking about being at Sabbath services. And there are some who forsake the assembling. They've decided for one reason or another, whether they don't need church. And in our day and age, we have this technology. I talked to someone, this is in the past, this goes back a while. We've had this technology for a while, but I noticed they're not here, by the way, so don't try to think who it is. But they hadn't been at services for a while, and I called them to check on them. They said, "Oh, well, I had church at home." First they said, I had church. And I said, "Oh, you went to a different congregation." "No, I had church at home." Well, that's forsaking the assembling yourselves. At this time, we still have a free country. We are still able to meet together in peace. Here we have this beautiful hall where we can come together. And so as we go forward, recognize that we should be at services. That applies to each and every one of us. And so I've made it clear there are times where we can't be at services or shouldn't be at services. But if it is within your power, your desire should be, my desire should be, to be here to gather together on the Sabbath, the weekly holy day. We know, I'm not going to give the whole sermon on the Sabbath, but we know this is time that God has set apart for us to come together, like-minded people. We're in the world all week long. And I don't know if you noticed this, but most of the world doesn't think like God thinks. And sometimes it can be difficult to live in this world. And so it's important that we come together on the Sabbath to be refreshed and to be replenished as far as focusing on God's Word. And so this is just a sub-point of point number one. And let me just tell you this. When Mr. Franks gave us his list of things that he wanted the ministry to think of, not one time did I think, wow, I hope Mr. Jackson wrote that down. I thought, this is what I need to do. And so when I go through this, I know you're here today, so don't think about those who aren't here, but think, I am going to do everything I can to bid services. And as a sub-point, be on time. So part of the meeting I'm going to have with the song leaders is don't wait for the brethren to show up. And I mentioned to someone, it was about 20 or 25 after 1, and I said, where is everybody? Well, 1:29, here is everybody. But be on time. This is, services are formal. We do believe and we do teach that we are before God's throne. When we come together, recognize that we pray for God to be here, for God's Spirit to be with us, and we want to be respectful. Now, there are times, again, that you can't help it. I know that whether it's traffic that happens in this area, there's health issues that take place sometimes. We want you to be here. We want everyone to be here. But we want to be orderly. We want things to be done decently and in order. And we want to be on time. And so this is something for each and every one of us. It's not for anybody else. So you do your part to be here and to be on time. And then we can do this together. It says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And exhorting means to encourage, to talk with. So it's good for the brethren to talk together. There are scriptures that talk about that God appreciates the brethren talking, and He hears them talking. So how can you encourage someone if you never talk to them? So whether it's by cards or phone calls or whatever it might be, hopefully we all have a support system in the congregation. And if not, then make it your responsibility to support others. If you don't feel supported, that's always the best way to solve that problem. If you don't feel a part of something, you don't feel like you have friends, what's the Bible say to do? Show yourself friendly. You don't feel you have a support system, be supportive. God will take care of your needs and take care of all of our needs. So encourage one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's two ways to look at that as the day approaching. It's talking about the weekly Sabbath, and it's also referring to the millennium, which we know is a rest. It's a type of Sabbath, a rest for God's people. So as we get closer to the end, there's going to be a tendency. This is as close as I'll get to prophesying. I believe it's scriptural. There's going to be a tendency for people not to assemble. There'll be reasons, there'll be ways, whatever it is, that will prevent people from assembling. And so that's why, as we get closer to the return of Christ, it says encourage one another to be together, to be at church, to be on time, in a loving way, of course. And then, of course, each and every weekly Sabbath, whether it's on Thursdays or Fridays, whether it's through email or whatever it is, we can encourage one another. Point number two. I'll go through this one quicker as I don't have scriptures to go through. But point number two, pray for a teachable spirit. Now, that's a term that you've heard me talk about, Mr. Jackson talk about, others talk about. It's very important that as God's people that we have a gentle, teachable spirit that we're willing to hear. If you hear me talk about be at services, if you hear me talk about be on time, do you think, well, you know what? The minister's late sometimes. Well, usually it's because I'm coming from another service. I've never been late. I'll take that word back. That's one of those dynamite words. I don't think I've ever been late when I've just come to one service. But sometimes between two, it's difficult. But for every one of us, we have to have a gentle, meek, teachable spirit. And then when we hear God's Word, the truth should resonate with us. So point number two is to pray for a teachable spirit. Point number three is to love the truth and live it. Love the truth and live it. That was one of the things that was given to the ministry, not in Mr. Frank's points, but in one of the seminars that we had, they made it very clear. The ministry should love the truth. The ministry should live the truth. The ministry should preserve the truth. The ministry should pass on the truth. And that's what we're striving to do. Every one of us, though, should love the truth and live it. You can write down John 17:17, which is probably a memory scripture for many of us. And if not, when you hear it, you'll recognize it. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth." So that's John 17:17. So we are set apart by the truth. So what makes us different from the world? We live in the world, but we're told not to be a part of it. Well, we recognize it's the fact that we have God's Spirit, and through the power of being sealed by God's Spirit, we have truth. God has given us the truth. So love it and live it. Point number four we'll find in Ephesians chapter 4. Point number four is unity. Unity, of course, is emphasized in the Bible. I've had some questions recently from members, and I think it's understandable. I would like to say I have the answers. I don't know that I do. But they've asked, why is there so much scattering of the brethren? Why is this? Because it seems to be happening. I keep thinking eventually we're going to come together. And I know we will, because in the millennium, after Christ returns, there won't be multiple organizations. There won't be somebody saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay home today so I can watch it online or something like that. There's going to be one church, and we're all going to go to the same church. Our responsibility is to make sure that we're there. Until then, every one of us should do what we can do to build unity. As we come together, I think a good question for all of us to ask, including myself, is, are we adding to the congregation? Are we building the congregation, or are we tearing it down in some way? Whether it's the brethren, whether it's the organization, whatever it is, are we adding, are we building, or are we tearing it down? And unity is certainly one of these areas that we can ask this question and have an answer for. We should know. Verse 1 in Ephesians 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." And that word "beseech" is always a strong word. He's encouraging and exhorting. He says, "I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So a way of life, making good choices is what he's saying. Making good choices, developing godly character. Verse 2, "with all lowliness and gentleness." Now these are traits that go against human nature. "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So endeavoring shows that there is effort being made. It means that you're taking some action. All of us should be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then we could drop down from there to verse 13. This is talking about the various offices that God has put in place, and we all have the same goal, and then we're striving to this till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So from time to time I'm asked if I think this division that we see is of God. Everything I read in the Bible, what is of God is unity. It is unity. God's Spirit binds people together. Those who are like-minded, we should be bound together. So this last time we had this division, to me it's a very obvious division. For whatever reason, it seems as if it had to happen, and it's a very obvious division. But as much as it depends on us, we should be striving for unity. Striving for it, praying for it. And as we come together, the question we should ask ourselves is, are we building unity, or are we tearing it apart? The next one is another biblical principle we're familiar with. It's love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. We know that we're told that Christ gave us a new commandment to love one another. First John chapter 3. And if you review the scriptures that talk about the end time in 1 Timothy 3, there's a list there of attributes and characteristics. And it will tell you that people won't love other people. It'll say that they will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. They're not lovers of other people. They're not lovers of what's good and what's right. They love themselves. They love money. And even later it says that they are haters. This is the characteristics that describe humanity at the end time. And so we have to make sure that we are developing and showing love, godly love. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment," as we are commanded to do, is what He's saying. We're commanded to do this, to love one another. There are other places that says prefer the brotherhood. We've talked about that before. That's not the gang you grew up with, remember? It's not the hood. It's the brothers here. It's our brothers and sisters in Christ. I wasn't looking at you on purpose, Dre. You just caught my eye. Prefer the brotherhood, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love one another. And I, at this point in time, today, I'm not going to give you a list of things to do to show love for one another. You're going to have to be in tune to God's Spirit to know what you can do to show love for one another, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. But it is our responsibility. It's my responsibility. This is one of my marching orders as a minister. Let's look in chapter 4, verse 7. Where we are told, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." So we know that at this point in time, as Mr. Williams made the point of, we have that earnest or that down payment, which means, in that sense, we're born of God. When we are resurrected, we will be completely born of God. But we have this now. And it is our responsibility to love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. In other words, you're a child of God. That's part of the characteristics. Verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Right? That's one of those memory scriptures that tells us what and who God is. God is love. We're striving as His family to be like God, to love, and to love each other. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And if God loved us, as it says in verse 11, we also ought to love one another. And so I think it's appropriate as we go forward, and we've done this in the past, we've had messages where we say, this is what love looks like. This is how you love. This is what you would do if you love somebody. I'm not going to give you that list. I'm going to say that all of us should be praying for love and that God motivates us to show that love. There's a lot of families that when they're about on their deathbed, that they say, you know I loved you. And they don't hear it. When I was with General Electric, there was a certain level that people got promoted to. It wasn't quite at the VP level, but everyone at that level had been divorced at least once. And they were married to their jobs. They weren't married to their family. The point I'm making is if you love your family, you show it in how you treat them. Otherwise, what does it mean? If it's a feeling in your heart, and it never comes out or it's never demonstrated. What does it mean? That's part of what we should all be striving for. And then finally, this is something that I guess I can say, I don't want to call it selfishly, but maybe desiringly, pray for the ministry. Pray for the ministry and the work that God is doing. It's very much appreciated. But as we go forward as a congregation, I'm asking specifically that you pray for the ministry around the world. It's the most rewarding job. I've had several. It's the most rewarding job. And I tell people there can be no better job than serving God and serving God's people. But it's at times also a challenging job. And we certainly appreciate your prayers very, very much.